Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Triver, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right, Nate, so the Monday night game against the Patriots went pretty much as we predicted. The Bills stuck around for a while because of their defense, and the incompetent offense produced absolutely nothing, and pretty much went as everyone expected.
Yeah, I mean, the offense got outscored while they were on the field, which is pretty hard to do in an NFL game. So there's that to start with. I mean, if the Bills would have lost the game if the Patriots had zero possession on offense. Patriots could have had zero offensive possessions, and the Bills still would have lost. I mean, even if your defense plays great, which I thought they did, what can you do about that?
It's been the story of the season, and I think it will be, you know, the story of the season going forward. This Bills defense is really good. They'll have a couple games where they have just a complete schematic letdown like they did against the Colts, but for the most part, they're going to be dominant, and the offense is going to be the complete opposite.
Yeah, I mean, this offense, with the exception of the Vikings game, which even in the Vikings game, the Vikings defense just broke down a few times. They have not shown the ability to move the ball down the field at all. At all. No matter who is playing quarterback. And I think quarterback is, honestly, the Bills have the worst quarterback situation in the NFL, and it's a lot of their own doing. But it's super frustrating to watch this offense try to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, the only time they've moved the ball consistently all year was against the Colts, and it resulted in 5 points because they just kept turning the ball over in opposing territory. So it's like the one time they looked semi-competent, they ruined it with untimely turnovers. And I just don't have any faith that they can put two things together that, one, they're going to move the ball, and two, not turn the ball over. It doesn't seem like those two things can simultaneously happen for this offense in the same game.
No, I completely agree. And I mean, I think during the Patriots game, of the 15 best Bills players, like 12 of them were on defense. So there were more good defensive players than there were even defensive starters. And until that happens, until that switches, until something changes, that this is going to be the story every single week, week in and week out, no matter who the opponent is.
Yeah, and recording this on Friday, November 2nd, I was encouraged to see Brandon Bean take responsibility for the mistakes he's made with the quarterback situation in an interview with the Buffalo News. And that's refreshing, because that's not something we've seen from him or McDermott, to accept responsibility or admit they were wrong. And he said that he should have brought Derek Anderson in after, you know, they let go, well, traded A.J. McCarron away. In hindsight, he says that's what he would have done. I don't think you need hindsight to tell you that you probably shouldn't have rolled in with two quarterbacks, one a rookie you didn't want to start, and the other a guy that had thrown a ton of picks in two career games.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're 100% sure that your rookie is ready, you can't do that. And they clearly weren't sure he was ready. And it was pretty clearly a mistake to any neutral observer, and he admitted that, which is it's great to admit the mistake. The more important thing, though, than just admitting the mistake and realizing you made a mistake is to not make any more mistakes like that. And at this point, with this season, you can't fix this quarterback issue, which is maybe outside of, it's probably the worst one in the league. I can't honestly think of our team as a worse quarterback situation at this point. Can you, Alex?
I don't even know if it's worth it trying to find one that's as bad.
Yeah, so they can't fix it this season, but it's something that I'm sure he realizes next year. He needs to have a veteran on the roster in training camp. And if the veteran does not make the team, he needs to immediately sign another one. And I think he now realizes that.
I've got one. Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville could be it. Jacksonville, I mean, Bortles has been so bad that they benched him for a guy who just doesn't, who's not, never been a quarterback, good quarterback in the NFL before. I mean, that's honestly the equivalent of, like, the Bills benching, actually not even a good equivalent, that's not even a good comparison, because it's worse than the Bills that when they benched Tyrod Taylor for Peterman, because you're benching a guy who started for 4 years, made the playoffs. So I guess it's close.
Yeah, I mean, those are two franchises that are at completely different points. You know, Jacksonville coming off the AFC Championship game, they beat the Bills in the playoffs. They're a competent quarterback away from being, you know, a Super Bowl favorite. And I don't know, the Bills are a long ways away from that. So we'll pivot back to the Monday night game. Not a whole lot to take away here, so we'll zip through this quick. Nate, what looked good on the offense, if there was anything?
Zay Jones, does that count?
Yeah, I mean, it's been the story all season long, at least with us. I don't see a lot of other people talking about it quite so much with how bad the Bills' offense is doing, but yeah, Zay Jones has been really good.
Yeah, he's been probably the best player on offense this season, and his stats do not back it up, and that is so much to do with how bad the quarterback play has been for Buffalo. So when you're analyzing Zay Jones, you have to analyze him independent from his statistics because of how bad the quarterbacks are. I mean, Peterman's like 9 picks out of 81 passing attempts in his career. He's going to be the quarterback on Sunday, so you can't expect a lot, even though he's been pretty good this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting separation and he's running routes well, and he's catching the ball. That's the biggest thing. Last year, he was dropping the ball all the time, especially in the first half of the season. And, you know, the second year is really where you want to see that leap from a wide receiver, especially one taken, you know, in the beginning of the second round. So I'm encouraged to see Zay Jones, you know, developing as an NFL wide receiver. Probably should be seeing 10 targets a game. I don't know why they're not just force-feeding him the ball, because he's open. He's got one of the best average separation yards in the league, at least last time I looked.
Yeah, he's getting open a lot, and I would hope that Peterman can find him. And Peterman has had the most success with Zay Jones of any quarterback that Zay Jones has played with, which I guess is the one good thing about Peterman having to start on Sunday. Because there's not a lot great about him starting on Sunday, but I guess that's that. If I had to think of one good thing of Peterman starting, it's Peterman has seemed to be the best quarterback throwing the ball to Zay Jones that Zay Jones has played with.
Yeah. So I want to give one other nominee for an offensive player that's been really good this year. And it's kind of been my one every week other than Zay Jones, and that's Von Miller. I mean, he's succeeding with Russell Bodine next to him, who has just been god awful. I mean, a lot of times you'll see Von Miller give a chip to help him with the guy Bodine's trying to block, and then Von Miller just goes and manhandles his one-on-one matchup. So I don't know. It was one of those things I texted you after two series into that Monday night game, and Nate, and said, you know, Von Miller's playing really well again. Because I was focusing on him because there's not much else to watch on that offense.
Yeah, and that's especially been the case for him, I think, the last like 4 or 5 games. He really, the first couple of games, he did struggle a bit more. But the last 4 or 5 games, he's probably been the best offensive lineman on the field, which that's for someone who last year got benched, pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a ton of competition to be the best offensive lineman of those five, but you know, he's been really good, and I'm going to be disappointed if they do not bring him back, especially as a starter next year, let alone just to give him, you know, a contract to stay on the roster.
I can't imagine they would let him go. There's a lot of holes that you need to fix, and if you think like a guy like that who is at his minimum an acceptable starter on the offensive line is more than the Bills can say for a lot of positions that they have on this team at the moment.
Yeah, I think a good 3 or 4 year extension is warranted for Von Miller, because that's a piece you can build around on that offensive line, you know, to replace probably 3 of those positions, hopefully, in the offseason. I mean, Deion Dawkins is going to stay as a left tackle. He had a rough go of it against the Patriots, but I think that injury was kind of bothering him. We saw him get completely just blown away by Van Noy on that one play, and that's totally uncharacteristic of him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Bills, the left tackle, even the left side of the line, like, Dukas hasn't been terrible. Dawkins hasn't been terrible. Miller's been pretty good. But at least for me, Jordan Mills and both centers need, like, the centers. So the Bills have both centers of Bodine and Ryan Groy both played it. I think, I'm not 100% sure if this is true, but I would guess they've both played 150 snaps this season. You think that's true?
Yeah, I can't remember. I think the switch came maybe in week 3.
Yeah, so I bet they both played about 150 snaps or at least 150 snaps. And they've probably been the two worst players in the offense.
Yeah, and that's difficult to do in an offense this bad.
Yeah, so that's the state of the Bills center position this season. The injury that cost them their longtime center, Eric Wood, is really hurting them more than I thought it would.
Yeah, I guess it goes to show the value of, you know, he's probably an average to above average center, as a starter at least. And it shows you the value of that and why he was paid so much, you know, for his position compared to what the Bills have out there.
Yeah, I mean, there are clearly not 32 guys in the world who are good enough at that position to be consistent starters in this league. So when you find one, you do kind of got to pay him something.
Yeah, so Nate, anything else you want to add on the offense before we transition over to the defense against the Patriots?
No, I mean, the offense is bad. I mean, there's nothing else really to say about it, just really bad.
Yeah, we won't beat a dead horse there. So I think it was, you know, a great night for the three techs. I was really impressed with Kyle Williams and Harrison Phillips when he was playing that three tech spot.
Yeah, I think both Phillips, Kyle Williams, I think honestly most of the defensive line, Latulule, the interior defensive line again was great. All four defensive tackles had really good games. I thought Jerry Hughes was the best player on the field. Well, on the defensive side of the ball for the Bills, I don't want to say on the whole field, but defensive side of the ball for the Bills, and he's been close to the best player a lot of this season. And between him, Milano, Tre'Davious White had their typical really good games. Evans was having a pretty good game before it was hurt. The front seven of the Bills has just been so, so good this year, and it pains me that they're 2-6 with this good of a front seven.
Yeah, I mean, Milano completely reversed his performance against the Colts where he was terrible, and he was just phenomenal against the Patriots. He was all over the field, and it was great to see him get some recognition from the commentators in a primetime game.
Yeah, he's a kid that really deserves. I mean, he's a fifth-round pick who has been one of the better linebackers this season. Not just on the Bills, but, I mean, in the league, one of the better weak side linebackers.
Yeah.
He has, well, I mean, I think a neutral observer can say he's been really, really good this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get my Pro Bowl vote, not just because he's a Bill fit. I think he deserves it. And Tremaine Edmonds, like you said, he played pretty well until he got the concussion there. And that's something he's going to have to learn. He can't lead with his head because that's what he did on that tackle. And at 20 years old, he's got a bright future ahead of him and a long career, hopefully. He's got to learn not to do that.
I mean, that tackle would have worked on, like, Julian Edelman. But you just got to think about who you're trying to tackle when you do stuff like that. Yes, he especially needs to be careful of not leaving his head, but you just got to be careful. You just have to think about who he's tackling. Because if you had tried to tackle, I mean, Edelman or James White like that, it's a whole different story. I think that, I honestly think, as a young player, that's more of what happened, is that he didn't realize how big the guy he was trying to tackle was that then the poor form. He did use poor form, but I think it was just more that he did not realize how big that guy was.
Yeah, James Devlin's probably almost the same weight, if not heavier, than Tremaine Edmonds at 250 pounds, so hopefully that's something he learns from. I hope he's not out there Sunday, because there's just no way someone can sustain a concussion like that on a Monday night game and realistically have their brain healed enough to play on Sunday. I mean, I don't care if he's cleared. I don't think he should be out there.
Julian Stanford, I mean, he actually made a couple plays in the second half that I was like, okay, maybe it won't be a disaster next week, because I'm assuming he's going to be the middle linebacker next week. I don't know who else they'd use.
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. He's got enough good players around him that he shouldn't get completely embarrassed. And Mitch Trubisky's not a good quarterback, so I think they'll be okay with Julian Stanford. But the one play, I think we tweeted about it from the account during the game, Tremaine Edmonds, where he spotted that swing pass to James White in the backfield, and he was all over that.
I think I texted you right when that happened, that Tremaine Edmonds is fast. I mean, he was faster than James White getting to that spot.
Yeah, and that's one of those things we talked about, Nate, where around the midseason point, we'd hope to see him start, you know, using his instincts and not having to think quite so much and just play fast without having to think. And that's the first time where I've really just seen that pop, like, as I'm watching the game, be like, wow, this guy is going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, you can see just watching even stills how big he is, but then you see on tape some how big he is and how fast he is and his instincts, that kind of thing. If he can continue that, Bills are in for a good long career from a really, really good player.
Yeah, and, you know, Trey White was shut down again. Phillip Gaines got picked on by Tom Brady, and that's going to be a problem for this defense the rest of the year. I mean, if they get a second good corner next year, this defense goes from really good to elite, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they have one good outside corner. They have a pretty good slot corner who's only a rookie. And I think Tron Johnson did a fantastic job against the Patriots, considering he's a rookie against a team who has some of the most difficult to cover slot guys in the league. But like you said, Phillip Gaines is generally a liability when he's on the field. He hasn't had many extended periods this season when he's looked even halfway decent.
Yeah, he's a good tackler, and that's about it.
Yep. There's not really a ton he offers. And I have to imagine the Bills kind of knew that when they went out and got him, but I just don't – there's not a lot of – where else can the Bills go? I mean, Ryan Lewis – when he's been on the field, he was not been good, and he was active and did not see the field against the Patriots. I mean, there's not a lot of options for them at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they put too many of their eggs in the Vontae Davis basket, and that's kind of come back to bite them. Not that it matters. Even if the defense was better, like you said, they still would have lost.
Yeah, I mean, you could have had like one of the best defenses in NFL history out there, and you're still probably not winning that game. If your offense can only score 6 points and they give 7 points to the other team, you could have – it could be an NFL defense versus a peewee team. You're still not going to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, what's the fourth time this year the offense hasn't scored a touchdown?
Yep. It's just – like, your defense could be guaranteed to not give up any points, and you still lose that football game. So that's where we're at with these Buffalo Bills. And a no-name rookie quarterback last night, undrafted, threw for as many touchdowns as the Bills quarterbacks have all season. That's what the Bills quarterback situation is at this point. I mean, that's really what it is. I honestly don't even remember the guy's name. I just know he was undrafted.
Nick Mullins,
yeah. Yeah. Yes, it was against the Raiders, who John Gruden's kind of ruined, but that's essentially where the Bills are at this point at quarterback.
That's what I don't get, Nate. How do these teams continuously just find random guys that can throw for 270 yards and 3 touchdowns, and the Bills can't get 270 yards or 3 touchdowns from their quarterback in a game, let alone a whole freaking season?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I mean, if you just look at this Nick Mullins guy's college stats, you're like, oh, he's going to be a pretty good NFL player. He's threw for like 4,000 yards and 38 touchdowns in the college season. Great.
All right.
And he's not that big. I don't know. It's super frustrating, but they're not going to be. I don't know. I'm over talking about the Patriots at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say about the Bills, so. Unless you have anything else to add, Nate, we'll transition to the more fun thing where we will revisit our preseason predictions at the halfway point.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get over this this whole Bills Patriots nonsense. Even though the first thing we're going to talk about here is our Bills record predictions and how we did for the first 8 games.
Yeah, I mean, I had them at 2-6. I had them beating the Titans and the Colts. Colts didn't go quite as I thought it would have. They snuck in that win against the Vikings that no one expected. It's gone pretty much how we both thought it would. I think they're going to win a handful of games in the second half here, especially if they get Allen healthy. I mean, the schedule's just so much easier. I believe it's the easiest schedule in the NFL for the last 8 games.
Yeah, that's one thing the Bills have to look forward to is the tough part of the schedule's over, but they did go 2-6 during it. I predicted them to be 1-7. In the first 8, and I think there's a reasonable chance they could win maybe 3 of these last 8 games, 3 or 4 of these last 8 games. But even if they are to do that, they're not. I mean, their season is, for all intents and purposes, it's over competitively. They're not going to make the playoffs, but there's a lot to play for these last eight games.
Yeah, unless there's some sort of magical offensive resurgence, there's no way they're going to run the table to make the playoffs.
No, absolutely not. But there's a lot to play for, especially if Josh Allen ends up playing again this season. If he doesn't, it's really just I don't want to go into that. So
yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm rooting for them to lose. Let's get Nick Bosa. Or trade that pick for more picks.
Yeah, let's do the better situation. They can just Brandon Bean can continue putting himself in for the franchise going forward. They have a ton of cap space next year. That's where they kind of have to look at. But that's why we picked of all these other things for the different awards, the division winners, playoffs, because we want to have something to watch at the end of the season, especially once the Bills are on playing. And this is what we have to look forward to. We can look at how dumb we've been or how bad our predictions or how good our predictions were from the beginning of the season.
Yeah, so we'll go straight to the cheery topic of me picking the Giants to win the NFC East.
Yeah, great job, Alex. Great job. I mean, I had a couple of not as great selections, but I had nothing that bad.
Yeah, I mean, this was my real dart throw. You know, they spent a ton of money on the offensive line, and I guess I had a bit too much faith in Eli being able to throw the ball further than 3 yards. But, you know, I whiffed on that one. There's no explanation.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our other division picks seem reasonable to happen. I'm comfortable with a lot of mine. I mean, yes, I picked the Falcons to win the Super Bowl, which right now is not looking great. But they had so many injuries, I think I get at least a slight pass on that one.
Yeah, you definitely get much more of a pass on the Falcons than I do for the Giants. I mean, they've lost four of their top five defenders for the season. So it's, what are you going to do? You have a good offense. I think they're seventh in total offense, and they're one of the worst in defense. And it's not because the defense is bad. It's because they have replacement-level players or below out there starting.
Yeah, and that's what happens in this league when, I mean, there's clearly not enough players that are NFL quality that exist right now. And that's what happens when teams that are poorly managed and when you don't have the depth.
Yeah. And Nate, one I want to touch on here that kind of sounded crazy at the beginning of the season I had the Colts winning the AFC South. They're two games back right now, but in that division, I mean, they're right in the thick of it. And I think they're a decent team. They're starting to get healthy. They had the worst injury situation in the NFL through the first half of the season. So if they can even get remotely healthy, I think they're going to win that division or at least compete for a wild card spot.
Yeah, and they still have five divisional games left. If they happen to win all five of them, they're in a really good spot. And there's a reasonable chance that they do win all five of them. So I think that is still an okay. You're still in an okay spot with that one.
Yeah, that was one of my crazier ones, I guess you could say, because, you know, we hadn't seen Andrew Luck play in 2 years, but he's been pretty good. And, you know, the defense might be better than people give it credit for, including us. We thought it was going to be awful, but they seem to be doing okay with, you know, not really well-known players.
Yeah, they really have been. And you see that from time to time in this league, especially on the defensive side of the ball, because a lot of what defenses can do can be come down to scouting, scheme, things like that. And that a lot of that, if you have really good coaches on that side of the football, you can turn a little bit of talent into a lot of bit of success.
Yeah, and I think we saw that with the Bills defense last year. It was pretty bad at times, but there was other times where they strung together some wins because of good coaching and a couple of good players on that side of the ball. They're much better this year. One more thing that we can laugh at me at is I don't have the Chiefs in the playoffs from my preseason prediction.
Yeah, and I still think that the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. I don't think the Rams are the best team in the NFL. The Rams have played the easiest schedule so far this season of any team in the league. The Chiefs have played teams that have 500 football. So I think Chiefs are the best team in the NFL, but we can argue about that all day. But yes, that is a bad one. I will say in the AFC, five of the six playoff teams that I picked to start the season would be in the playoffs if the season ends today. And I'll take that. I will take that. Because in the NFC, I did not do as hot.
Yeah, I'm looking at yours, Nate. It's not too terrible. I mean, the Falcons' call probably isn't going to work out because the Saints and Panthers look like they're running away in that division.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been 3-for-6. I think, right, Eagles, Rams, Saints would be NFL today. And, or no, Eagles wouldn't be in. Eagles are 4-and-4. Yeah, so 2-of-6. But
I think you're looking good going forward, though. I mean, I think the Eagles and the Packers have a reasonable shot of getting in, at least as wild cards.
Yeah, I mean, in your AFC picks right now, I mean, all you're 5-of-6 as well, because the Ravens would be in NFC today. I'm pretty certain that's the case.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I think the AFC, not bad. Not bad. And the AFC, I do think the AFC was easier to pick than the NFC before the season because there were a few teams. There was at least one team in every division that we all knew was going to be bad.
Yeah, and, you know, it was pretty much up to those wild card spots and whoever was going to win the AFC South. So it was a bit easier to pick. Let's go to our bold predictions now. I had the Jags finishing last in the AFC South, and I'm sticking by that. I don't think they're that good of a team. The defense was dominant last year because of the pass defense, and it hasn't been as good without Aaron Colvin in the slot.
No, it hasn't. And they've lost 4 games in a row. They're just falling apart, and their quarterback situation is terrible. Out of all those teams in that league, in that division, I would certainly, at this point in the season, after seeing where all those teams are at, the Colts have won 2 in a row, the Texans have won 5 in a row, Jaguars finishing last is not all that far-fetched.
Yeah, and it kind of was at the beginning of the season, so I'll hang my hat on that one to make up for my Giants winning the NFC East pick.
Yes, and my first bowl prediction was the 49ers were going to win 6 or fewer games. Now it seems like, oh, obviously, Nate, why, that's not a bold prediction. But I think at the time when we made these picks and when we talked about this, Garoppolo was still healthy. A lot of people, that he'd won 6 games in a row on the season last year, 5 or 6 games in a row.
Yeah.
And people thought they were going to be, they might not be great, but they're going to be competitive. They're going to be like 7-9, 8-8, somewhere in there. And they're going to, and even with Garoppolo before he got hurt, they were still on pace to be pretty bad. So I think I'll take some solace in that pick as well.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was all aboard the Garoppolo hype train except us. So I think I'll give you a pass on that one, Nate. I think you would have been right regardless. I mean, there's no way to know, but I agree with you there. My second one is I had the NFC North with 3 10-win teams. At this point, it looks like they're going to beat up on each other because they have a lot of divisional games left. So I think we'll get 3 with 9 wins. Does that sound reasonable?
That sounds reasonable. Yeah, that's the one thing. The Packers have played every other team once, and that's all the games that have been played in the NFC North so far. So there's a lot of divisional games left, and with everyone at 4 and 3 and 4, I think 3 9-win teams is certainly reasonable. But yeah, 3 10-win teams would be very, very difficult. They'd have to basically win every non-division game the rest of the season for that to happen. That's probably not that realistic.
Yeah, they all have pretty tough schedules. I mean, Green Bay goes to New England this week, and I don't know. We'll see. I still think Aaron Rodgers is going to will that team to the playoffs. So we'll see. Nate, your second one was the Falcons finished top 5 in offense and defense. Kind of covered that one. You're right on with the offense. The injuries on the defense kind of killed that one for you.
Yeah, I still have some faith. I mean, there's still a reasonable chance they can be a wild card team at this point because they're one game out of the wild card right now. But in terms of a top 5 offensive defense, I think that's probably pretty unlikely at this point.
Yeah. So our last ones both revolved around draft picks. And you said Bills, Dolphins, Jets all pick in the top 8. You're looking pretty good there.
Yeah, so the Bills would be 4th if the season ended today. The Jets would be 8th, and the Dolphins would be 16th. But I have a lot of faith in the Dolphins getting closer to that 8 spot as this season rolls along. I just don't. Their point difference is like negative 50. Their quarterback situation is who knows because Ryan Tannehill's capsule injury, and he's missed like the last 4 games, including this weekend. So they're just in a rough spot. They don't have the easiest schedule ending the season. They got to play at Green Bay. They have to play the Patriots. They have to play the Bills twice, which has not been a great matchup for them the last couple of years. I see that one for me being close.
Yeah, you're going to get 2 out of 3, I think, and the third one will be pretty close. And when in doubt, pick against the other three teams in the AFC East. That's not the Patriots. So.
Yep, that's kind of where that whole thing came from. Is I just we'll see. These teams are probably not gonna be that good though. So
Yeah, so I had Denver, Dallas, and Seattle all picking in the top eight. I don't know if any of them are necessarily going to get in the top eight. I don't think any of them are going to make the playoffs. I mean, Denver's kind of spiraling, and I expect Dallas and Seattle too as well. They haven't been terrible to start the year, but I don't think either team is very good, and I think that's going to get exposed in the second half. And I think there's unlimited downside risk for all three of those teams.
Yeah, so right now Denver has a 10th pick, and I think they are more likely than not, and I think to be in that top eight. The other two, I mean, Dallas does not have a first round pick anymore. So, but if they did, it would be 12th. So those two are not that bad. Seattle is we pick they'd be in the playoffs right now, season today, so that one's way up there. But I think that you could get one of those.
All right, Nate. So the last one we'll touch on, I think, is our Super Bowl predictions. You had Falcons over Chargers. Are you going to stick with it, or do you want to make a modification here?
I think that I kind of have to make a modification. I just the Falcons, their injuries on defense, I just don't think that team is good enough to make the Super Bowl, let alone win it. I am, however, going to stick with the Chargers in the AFC.
All
I
right.
still think Philip Rivers is going to will that team to the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to win it. I'm still I'm but I'm so I'm going to switch my NFC team, and I think the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl, and Drew Brees will fly off into the sunset with his second Super Bowl, and he will retire.
All right. I can see that one happening. I had the Packers over the Chargers, and I'm going to stick with it. I think Aaron Rodgers, against all odds, against his own organizational incompetence, is going to lead this team to the playoffs as a wild card and march through the NFC on the road, playing in a few domes along the way, to help him out. And I think they're going to beat Philip Rivers and the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers are a team that's going to get a lot better once Joey Bosa comes back.
Yeah, for sure. And it wouldn't be the first time Aaron Rodgers has willed a really bad team through the playoffs from the wild card, because he's done it before. So I think that's certainly reasonable. I mean, what 2000 when they won the Super Bowl, they were a wild card team, and he just dominated in the playoffs. Just dominated. So he could certainly do it again.
Yeah. So, Nate, I just remembered we almost forgot our Chris Ivory Award winner.
Chris Ivory Award. This has been so much fun for us, I think, to do since we started this fun award. And if you've been following along, you'll know what our Chris Ivory Award is.
Yeah, basically it goes to a player, or in this case, an individual that gets embarrassed by something on the field after Chris Ivory just got absolutely destroyed by a defensive tackle against the Vikings when he wasn't even really a part of the play. If you're listening with small children, we'll give you 3 seconds to pause it so you don't have to hear any words that you might not want to have to explain. So, yeah, the dildo throwers were back at it against the Patriots on Monday night, Nate.
And the last time the dildo throwers came to a Buffalo Bills game, they got featured in a documentary like a year later. So let's see what this guy gets.
Yeah, so the Chris Ivory Award winner, I'm going to nominate the referee that kicked it out of the end zone and then just kind of awkwardly passed it off to some security guy to pick it up with a towel.
Yeah, I mean, the one question I ask is, how do you get the dildo into the stadium? Like, where do you put it? Because you have to bring clear bags in. Like, I don't know. Where do you put it? I mean, I can see like maybe one, but I think they had that someone managed to throw a couple of them on the field.
I have more than one question, Nate. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah,
Like, it was the third quarter. They held on to that for probably over 2 hours. Where?
they somehow got it. They somehow got it. And the New Era Field tweeted at like 4 o'clock. Reminder, if you throw anything onto the field, you will be arrested. Police and video presence will be heavy. And the DNC, Democratic Chronicle in Rochester, the local newspaper here, they featured a tweet in an article they wrote about the doodle throwing of someone who tweeted saying, "Am I the only one who is going to watch Monday Night Football this week just to see if Bills fans throw Tom Brady another dildo?" And that was on the 26th, and then it happened on the 29th. So that is our Chris Ivory moment for this week. Chris Ivory Award for week 8 of this NFL season.
Nate, I want to give you like a pronunciation award there for nailing the pronunciation of clock in this conversation. So kudos to you, sir. And as this spirals out of control, I think we'll leave you for this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Ballinger.
And I am Nate Driver.
Subscribe, download, give us 5 stars wherever you get your podcast. That helps others be able to find the show. Do us a favor and share the Bills Breakdown Podcast with one friend this week. You can follow us on Twitter at Bills_Breakdown, Facebook at Bills Breakdown. Email us any segment ideas, questions, topics you want us to cover, BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.